All right, welcome to Greek Club. Hetaireia Hellenes, and I know that because I looked it up in a book. We are in Matthew chapter 5, and I believe that we got to verse 38. Does that seem right? Yeah, I think we just finished the little teaching on oaths. For those of you that tune in to Greek Club via the iTunes U website, first of all, thank you very much. And this is the last Tuesday before our Christmas break, so we will not meet, I guess, for two Tuesdays. And I believe the next time we meet then would be about January the 9th or whatever that Tuesday is, something like that. So we're reading Greek in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38. So we'll just start there. Ekusita hati erethe, apthalman ante apthalmu, kai hadanta anti hadantas. I guess we can take that. Jesus introduces in a typical way, you heard from akouo, the weak aorist. See the sigma in the stem. The alpha in the akouo lengthens with a temporal augment to eta. Second person plural, you heard that. And here's the form from the aorist passive of lego, again, that it was said. And now we have a quote from Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy 19, Leviticus 24. An I instead of, in the place of an I. So ante plus the genitive means in the place of or instead of. This is actually a very theologically freighted preposition at times. This is the one that's used in Matthew 20, 28. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom payment in the place of the many. One of the clearest statements in Matthew for the vicarious satisfaction, you know, explicit statements. Of course, it's taught in other ways. So an eye in place of an eye and a tooth. So your orthodontist is your straight tooth person, right? A tooth in place of a tooth. As you know, in the Old Testament context, this is meant to limit revenge, right? Now, of course, you can, if you're a sinful human being, pervert the intent of that, and you can make sure that I get my pound of flesh, right? And that seems to be the misuse of God's Torah that Jesus is trying to overturn here. So then, verse 30, so that was pretty straightforward, I think. Any questions about verse 38? Pretty straightforward. We'll go on. Oh yeah, go ahead, Will.
Sure. Why is ophthalmon in the accusative? Why is it in the nominative?
I think he's just pulling it directly from the quote in the Septuagint or in the Masoretic tradition. Yeah, I think in its context it has to be accusative. Right. Good question. I thought of that too, although I forgot to look it up, so I just guessed. Any more questions that I can't answer with definitiveness? Okay, excellent. Verse 39. Ego de lego humin me antistenai to panero, al hastis se rapidze eis tein dexion sia ganasu, strepsonauto kai tein alein. Let's see, maybe we'll just keep going to the end of the paragraph. Kai to thelantes soi krithenai kai tan kitonasu labain, Aphes auto kai ta hematian, kai hostis se agaruse milion hen, hippagamet autu dia. To aitunte se das, kai tan dolanta apasu danisas thy me apostrophes. Kind of one thought unit, I guess, in a way. Verse 39, but I say to you, again, the ego is kind of doubly emphatic in these constructions. First of all, because it's first, and second of all, because it's unnecessary. Right? So, italicized. And you see this, by the way, at the end of the sermon, you may remember that the crowds marvel at Jesus' claim to authority. None of their scribes taught this way. None of you should teach this way. I should never teach this way. Jesus is just saying, look, this is what God intended, and I know it because of who I am. Right? So if you ever start preaching that way, I hope your circuit counselor is listening. And he smacketh you around. Right?
He
rapidzos you, that's right. And then turn to him, the other siagon, that's right. So, but I say to you, And now we have an infinitive from antistemi. Antistenai means to oppose. And it's probably expressing here indirect discourse. But I say to you that you not oppose ta poniro, the evil person. Okay. We had a similar construction. Look back up at verse 34, where we had ego de lego followed by an infinitive. And there it was from omnimi, to swear. But I say to you that you not oppose the evil person. Now, there's actually an exegetical debate on ta panero. Some have tried to argue that it's a dative of means, and that you should translate "do not oppose by evil means." Okay. Now, grammatically, it's possible. I actually one time looked up all the uses of anthistemi in the Septuagint and New Testament, followed by a dative like this. The overwhelming pattern is for it not to be dative of means, but the dative of the person that you're opposing. So just in terms of stylistic likelihood, it's almost certainly to be translated the way it typically is. Grammatically, it wouldn't be impossible to translate "do not oppose by evil means," but it probably just means "do not oppose the evil person." Okay. Rather, Allah, whoever to rapizo is to strike or slap, whoever slaps you, literally, into the right cheek, of course, siagon is a word you have to look up, it apparently means cheek, on your face, not on your patukas, right? Whoever strikes you on the right cheek. Then we have the aorist imperative from strepho, which is a transitive verb, means to turn, like you turn a coffee cup, or you turn your head, right? Turn to him also the other cheek, right? Jesus teaching hyperbolically here, and no, we won't get into exegesis. So that part, I think, is pretty straightforward. Any questions about that? Again, strepson is the aorist imperative from strepho. And when you add the sigma, the phi goes to psi, and then the un is the second singular ending for the imperative. Okay? Again, that's not too hard. Turn to him also the other, verse 40, and now we have a substantized participle from thelo, to the one who wishes to be judged with you and to take your coat. Ketone is the outer garment, apparently, especially here in the context where it's linked in the next clause with hematian, which is more of the shirt, I think. Unless I have that reversed. It doesn't actually matter. And to the one who wishes to be judged with you. Now, this is sometimes rendered to go to court with you or something like that, but literally, krithenai is the aorist infinitive passive of krino, I judge. Now, here's a little thing. You might think, okay, krithenai soi, you might try to translate to be judged by you, okay, which wouldn't necessarily make that much sense in the context. Can anybody remind me how you normally express personal agency in Greek? You wouldn't use a dative of a person. You'd use hippo plus the genitive. Right? If you want to say that something is done by a person, you use the prepositional phrase hippo plus the genitive. So it's extremely unlikely that you would even be able to translate to be judged by you, so just take it as maybe a dative of association or something like that, a dative of reference, to be judged in relation to you. In other words, they want to go to court with you, and they want somebody else to give judgment, and they want to take your coat away. Right? And to take, labain, at the end of the line, is from what stem, anybody? Labain?
Lambano.
Lambano, very good. The aorist infinitive from lambano. And to take your coat, comma. And now the main clause begins. Afes. When you see a little form like this and you don't know what it's from, it's probably from anybody?
Fit me.
Afeime. Right. It's from a me verb. Right. It means to allow. It can mean to forgive, but here it means allow. It's aorist, imperative, active. It's the kind of form that you either have to look up in the book or point and click, right? Allow to him also the coat, ta himatian, right? So go out of your way to be vulnerable or something like that, right? What? I'm an American. I have rights. Oops, sorry, that's exegesis. Anything in verse 40? Better to have a heart that's too soft than a heart that's too hard. Right? Heart that's too soft means you get taken advantage of. Heart that's too hard means you go to hell. Tim?
It's possible the tithe is... Because we have a dative there on the one who wishes.
Yes?
And then we also have the dative that you said people are taking as a dative means.
Okay.
So, I mean, doesn't the chi kind of connect those two?
Oh, in a kind of a both-and way?
Or just, it would be odd that you would take the one as a dative of means when the other one, which is so similar, to take it as a...
Okay. Okay, now back it up and ask you again. We're in verse 40, right?
Yeah.
And you want to... Go ahead.
We're not going to take that dative there as a dative of means.
The soy?
The toe, the lung.
Oh, that's a good question. What does that go with, actually? It's a little Hebraic. Anybody? Where would that dative, what verb form would that dative attach to? It goes with aphes. It's actually anticipating the allow or permit. So to the one who wishes, permit to him. So what you actually have is a redundant pronoun, I think. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, it's actually a very good question. I forgot to mention that, so thank you. It's a good clarified question. Again, you get the Semitic flavor, I think, perhaps, going on here. Isn't that called a resumptive pronoun? When you have like an extra lo at the end of a clause, you do something to him. Well, where's Seleska when I need him? Right, or Eger. That's right. We'll call that a resumptive pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we'll accuse it of being due to Semitic influence.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. Okay. Very good question. Thank you, Tim. Good clarification. Okay, verse 40? All right, 41. And whoever, to agareuo means to conscript somebody. It means a soldier comes along and says, you're coming with me, pal, and you're doing this. Okay. This is what they do to Simon of Cyrene when he carries Jesus' cross. Okay. So whoever compels you... Now, this is a kind of a nice example. Milion is a Roman mile. I can't remember how long it is. It's about 1,400 meters or something. It's a little shorter than what we would call a mile. I looked it up. Milion hen is accusative, right? Accusative singular. And this is the accusative of extent. You can use this with time words or with spatial terms. So it answers the question, if with a time word, it answers the question, how long did something go on? With a spatial term, it asks, how far? And Greek doesn't need a preposition. We would say, for 1 mile. Greek just puts it in the accusative, and this will help you feel smart today at Schnucks. When you go grocery shopping, you say, you know, by the way, we saw an adverbial accusative of extent today. And a clerk will probably give you your groceries for free or something. So that's called the adverbial accusative of extent. That's right. I'm not making that up, Keffi, although in your deepest nightmares you think I am. So whoever compels you for 1 mile, again, how far? For a mile. Hippage, this is from hippago, which means to go along, and this is just the present imperative, active, second singular. It would also, no, it looks like an imperative. Go with him, dua, two, for two. And, we'll finish this off and then we can get questions. To the one who asks you, give. So the substantive participle, itunte, is from itao, which is why you've got the u vowel contraction with the circumflex. So itao goes to e plus a is u. So to the one who asks you, give. And then let's go to the end of the line. The verb is a prohibition, me, apostrophes. This is a fairly difficult form. It's from apostrepho. The sixth principal part is irregular. This, the alpha is the key. This is actually aorist subjunctive passive. Second person singular. And the passive forms, apostrepho means to turn something around transitively. But this is yet one more example. You see this a lot in the New Testament. Dr. Belz's actually not so fundamental Greek grammar does a great job of pointing this out. There's great stuff in there. But the problem is it's in the later chapters where nobody's listening anymore because you're getting ready for the qualifier. Right? That's called the chuckle of guilt over there. So here's the way it works. You have a transitive verb to turn around, like I turn around the car. And then you make it passive. Literally it would be the car is turned around by someone. But then the passive transitive meaning morphs into an intransitive active meaning. So the car turns. And this, it's in vowels. It's the week before Christmas. You won't remember this, but it happens all the time. So, do not turn away. Let's see, hokey smokers. What are we going to do with that accusative then? Do not turn away from. Do we have a variant reading? I always pray for a variant reading when I don't know what to do. Yes, deed makes the grammar easier. Do not turn away in relation to the one who wishes from you to borrow. I think we'll have to go that way with it. See, strictly speaking, this verb in the passive shouldn't have an accusative direct object. Right? Strictly speaking. So...
Could it be the subject of the...
The middle of donidzo. Donidzo means to lend, and the middle means to borrow. Okay. Let's see. Who wishes? No, see, because the infinitive is the subject of the participle thela, or the object of the participle thelanta. Wishes to borrow, right? So I think, well, there are two options here. Maybe I'll just mention this. Kind of caught me off guard here. Won't be the last time. Here's what I think of phobeo. Okay? Now here's the steps with phobeo. Phobeo means to frighten in the active. So it has to take the object. So the passive of phobeo can mean to be frightened by someone. Phobeo mai. Then that can come to mean to be afraid intransitively. And then it takes one more step and you can put an accusative direct object on a passive form of phobeo and it means to fear someone. I'd have to actually look it up. I wonder if that's what's going on here with this passive form of apostrepho. It means to... Again, I apologize for not looking this up. Maybe it means something like this. The movement goes from to turn something, to be turned, to turn someone away. And if that's the case, thelanta would just be the direct object, actually, of this passive voice verb, which is odd because passive voice verbs are not supposed to have direct objects. Right? Okay. Well, that was edifying, and I think it's probably time to stop. So I will look that up and try to bring back a report on what apostrepho actually does. Because now I'm confused.
Two page,
double space, fully footnoted. Okay. Merry Christmas to one and all, and to all a good night. Is that how that goes?